fill in right there.
Okay. Size matters, right?
Always.
In all cases?
Every single one. I love this view. It's so pretty.
Of what? Me?
I mean, that too, but naturally, but just the window. What we added here looks really, really pretty.
I know.
I shouldn't have doubted you.
You talked about that last time.
I know. I probably will every single time that we sit up here.
Every single time?
Probably. Yeah. I love it. It's beautiful.
What specifically do you love?
The colors, the trees, all of it.
What about the big penis that's sitting right in the middle?
Yeah, my mom saw that too, by the way. She says she loves the decoration in this room.
Did you tell her it was a mold of me?
She's known about this since we got it in Mexico way back when. She's hidden it a few times, and then you always found it.
When you say hidden it, do you mean she was using it?
You're so stupid. No, she put it in the closet.
Oh, I'm sure she did after she used it. Do I need to disinfect it?
You're disgusting.
Am I?
Yes. Don't go there with my mama.
Oh, I went there with your mama.
No, don't.
Too late.
Nope.
Done did it.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you love about the view?
Oh, my God. I really do love the color of the sky.
It's blue.
It's not just blue. See, I don't understand. You do things like this, but then you don't take the time to really appreciate all the details of it, right? There's three shades of blue from here.
Every shade of blue?
Three shades. I know that song. Then you have like this beautiful red orange color on some of the leaves. You have a dark green. You have light green. Then you have clouds that are this beautiful bright white color. And then over here, if you look all the way to the right, it's like a neon type green. And then you have some olive green over there. It's beautiful. Oh, you motherfucker. I should know better by now.
You should know better than to talk over the intro. That was our intro. You just talked over it.
Hello. Welcome to Higher Connections.
Oh, shut up with the welcome to Higher Connections.
Just say hi. What's the big deal?
Huh?
You can say hi.
I am high. Are you high?
No.
I'm not high.
No, I'm not making that mistake again.
Why? I think it was hilarious when you were high.
Well, it wasn't just that, but I was high and sick, and it made it worse. Mm-hmm. Way worse.
And so. You were coughing then, and you're coughing now.
I know. I had a solid, 2 weeks with no coughing?
No, it's what, less than that. Maybe 5 days?
I thought it was more.
Nope. 5 days with no coughing.
Yeah, it was finally getting better.
But it's back. Mm. I think it's the Ecuadorian cough, which is...
way worse.
Way worse. Yeah. So, welcome to Higher Connections. This is episode 10-20, or somewhere between 10 and 20.
Yeah.
I know that much. I am Eric, and you are...
Alexandra.
And we have a podcast about what?
Everything, I think.
No, not everything.
Well, we covered a lot of different topics, so I'd say it's focused around cannabis and how it affects our lives.
But right.
There's been, like, a lot of subtopics we've talked about.
Yeah, but it's not everything. I mean, we don't talk about animal porn yet.
That's a thing?
It is. Seriously?
Yeah.
You don't know animal porn's a thing?
No. Ew. How the f*** do you know that's a thing?
Don't worry about it.
You always know what depraved is out there. I never know about these things.
Just don't go through my Google history. That's all.
Ew.
Yeah. But we do talk about a few things. I'm not going to say everything.
Oh, okay.
For anyone listening to this for the first time, again, we're up to 16 people now officially tracked.
I'd say 20.
You sure?
Yeah, because I just got a bunch of new Instagram followers over the past few days.
So what are you up to, 4?
No, I think it went up to 80.
Wow.
I think, something like that.
80 people following you?
Yeah, I know. As Higher Connections, really.
Okay.
It's my own doing, though. It's my own fault I don't have more, because in order to get a bunch of followers, you have to post every single day, multiple times a day.
And why aren't you doing that?
I don't have time to do that
every
day.
You do have time to do
no,
it.
You don't.
You just choose to do other things.
Like take care of our children?
Yeah, irrelevant. They can take care of themselves. What else?
Really?
Yeah.
They can take care of themselves.
Yes, they're taking care of themselves right now at this very moment.
For a little while.
Okay, so how long does it take you to post on Instagram?
It's different. It's not like Twitter. We've talked about this. Twitter, you just post whatever stupid shit. It takes you 5 seconds and that's
correct.
It. Instagram is nothing like that. It's not the same audience. It has to be more cosmetically pretty, and there's all these graphics and music and all stuff that I'm still learning. Okay, fuck you then.
So congratulations on being up to 80. But yeah, welcome to anyone that's actually listening. Fucking crickets off. We are, I am Eric, you are Alexander. We have a book, blah, 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 blah. The book talks about my experiences, our experiences with cannabis, blah, 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 blah. And we've been doing this and I think having fun doing it.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. I got to add that button, the blah, 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 blah button.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be.
What would the sound be?
Blah, 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 blah. What do you mean?
No, but what would the music be behind it?
There wouldn't be music. It would just be someone saying blah, 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 blah.
Oh, okay.
We're not allowed to curse. You completely forgot that. I think you already cursed 14 times.
You forced me to.
I don't force you to do anything.
Yes, you did, because you're not being nice. Okay. And you're making fun of me.
Correct, but you have to learn to not curse when I make fun of you.
Then don't make fun of me. Easy solution.
Easier said than done.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, you just got back from the equator.
Literally.
The Galapagos, right?
Well, not the Galapagos, but yes, Ecuador.
Ecuador, with the children and your mom. You were gone for what? It seemed like 2 days. How long were you actually gone?
8 days.
Oh, my God. That was 8 days. Mm-hmm. Well, I did not go. I'm sure... there are many people listening that will question why I didn't go, but there were things that had to be done at home, so I stayed here.
You wouldn't have enjoyed it.
No.
I'll be honest. You wouldn't have enjoyed it, so why? I got asked that question several times by many different people.
Yeah.
Your mother, actually, too.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
And you would not have enjoyed it. So why force you to go someplace that you're not going to enjoy, then you're going to make me miserable, I haven't been there in 20 years, so the whole point of this trip was to see family and spend time with family, meet new family. Like, my cousins have kids now, some of them, that I haven't met before, babies and such, and I really wanted to just spend time with them, and not everybody speaks English. You don't speak Spanish.
See.
It was incredibly hot. It was really hot. Right now, this is their summer, and it's one of the hottest summers on record for Ecuador.
What degrees in Celsius was it?
In Celsius... don't remember, but it was in the 90s.
In Celsius?
No, not in Celsius. I don't know the 90
equivalent. 90 degrees Celsius would be the temperature of the sun.
Yeah, no. It was...
let's just go with 35.
Probably. Approximately. Something like that. And lots of humidity, rain showers. No.
Rain showers are fine. I can handle rain showers. But 90 plus degrees plus humidity, I'm Jewish. I would have melted. I literally would have melted.
Yeah.
I don't do well in the humidity.
No. And it didn't bother me at all. Our children were suffering quite a bit. But we did. We had a lot of fun. I did, unfortunately, get sick there. I was fine. And then I ended up getting sick. I had to go to the doctor. And I'm on all sorts of drugs again. Steroids. I know. Who goes there and gets bronchitis?
You. Well, there were people coughing on the plane ride down, right? With no masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this stupid, horrendous woman on the plane was coughing so much.
Was her name Alexandra?
No, I don't know what her name was. Asshole was her name.
Nope.
And the other thing that I told you, I think I might have been texting with you because there was free Wi-Fi. And she was too lazy to get up and go to the bathroom to change her kid's diaper. She changed it right on the seat. Like, she flipped him over and just boop.
I'm sorry, is that not normal?
I don't think so. That's disgusting.
I've changed your diaper on the seat.
Shut up, you're stupid.
On a plane. Is that not good?
Nope, I've changed diapers in airport bathrooms. It's uncomfortable, it's tiny, but you do it.
No, airplane bathrooms, not airport bathrooms.
Damn it, airplane. Yeah, both. I've done both. Anyway, it was a great trip all in all, even though I was sick for quite a bit of it.
And you still are.
Yes, I came back still, but it's much better. Yes, I had a couple of asthma attacks while I was there, too.
I think whoever the 20 people that are listening are going to get used to you doing that every single podcast.
I warned you. I couldn't do it. But you know what? My cousin, who's a biologist, he did tell me that.
Is he a marine biologist?
She, no.
She? Does she... get golf balls out of humpback whales' blowholes?
No. She doesn't do that.
You don't know what that reference is, do you?
No, I don't. It's a reference.
It's a reference.
Tell me.
Seinfeld.
I don't remember that one.
No, George pretends he's a marine biologist to impress an attractive female, and he's at the beach, and there's a whale with a obstruction. It can't breathe. It's beached itself. And so someone asks if anyone's a marine biologist, and the girl
now
says,
"Now I remember, he is.
George is a marine biologist." So he goes in, mm-hmm. and he scoops a golf ball out of the blowhole that Kramer was golfing. Kramer was hitting some shots into the Hudson River, and I guess one of them hit into the whale. Anyways.
I actually remember that now. I forgot about that. Yeah. But anyway, back to that. My cousin was telling me that, how do I say this? I'm trying to think of the translation. Basically, in certain third world countries, people that live in more developed countries, when they go to third world countries, their bodies are not used to the same level of germs, because basically the germs over there are really, really rough.
Let's rough put germs? It
that way. Yeah.
They're just super duper germs.
I mean, obviously I'm not a biologist, and I'm not, you know, she explained it more scientifically than I did, but basically that's the gist of it, that my body, because I haven't been there in 20 years, just.
So you brought home super duper germs to our house.
Well, not, I guess. I mean, I'm much better now.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be sick in, 2 days?
You don't have any pre-existing conditions like I do, so you won't get sick. You would probably go there and be perfectly fine, and I would still get sick.
Probably. Yeah. I think at this point, that's enough of a, we have enough of a basis to make that conclusion. So you went, you just got back. There were a couple of interesting moments that I'm just going to talk about and see what you think about them, because I think we kind of talked about this. You were on the flight down on Friday night. I got home. Friday night, so I came home. I got high or started doing some edibles on the ride back because it was just a long week. Mm-hmm. And I got home, and we were texting.
Yeah.
You were on the plane, and we were texting for about an hour or two.
Yes.
I think. Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer.
Yeah, probably longer. And then at some point, I was high and just kind of watching TV, and I got a feeling that came over me, like it was kind of fear or worry. And I think I was watching hockey or Diners and Drive-Ins and Dives or something. And it overtook me. And at that point, we had just been texting about random stuff. Like I showed up at the airport to meet you. I'd flown in from another city to JFK to meet you before you took off. The kids were happy. They were initially upset that they didn't think they were going to see me before you left. So we were texting all about that stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, I just asked you, and I have it right here. I'm like, is it bumpy? At 7:43. And that was like 8 minutes after my last text. And you got back to me and told me you were scared, I think, about 10 minutes before we had this conversation, which is right when I texted you. And I don't know, maybe was the flight bumpy the whole ride, or was it just at this point? You were somewhere over the Caribbean, I think.
It was around that point. It wasn't bumpy the whole time at all. It was just around that time period. I honestly don't remember how long it lasted. I was just, it was bumpy, some turbulence. I don't do well with turbulence, so I sort of like grab into the chairs and do my prayer thing that I do. It's like, okay, all right, Jesus, come on.
Jesus.
Yeah, let's make it. I do when I'm scared. I'm like, Jesus, please, you know, I'm not ready to meet you just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's probably why, I don't think I responded right away, right? Because I think.
You responded 8 minutes later. You said, yeah, it seems to have stopped for now. They switched altitudes a few times. It said, which equates to 3 gazillion prayers. 3.9 gazillion prayers. It's 3937847488837338 prayers.
I did say that.
Yeah. And I said, how many minutes ago were you scared? You said 10 minutes ago at 7:52, and I texted you at 7:43. Now, I assume it takes 30 seconds for the text to bounce from here up into the sky. But, and then I responded like, I knew it. This is literally what I said. I said, I knew it. When did I ask if it was bumpy? That's when I knew I'm high. You didn't know I was high.
No.
And you said 10 minutes ago. And I said, coincidence, right? Like, yeah, right. What do you think about that? I mean, again, the feeling that came over me was just scared, fear/scared/worry. Mm-hmm. And I, again, there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is that?
I don't know. You were definitely connected. I'll say that. I was scared. I forgot about the altitude. They did change. The pilot said, sorry, guys, we're changing altitude again, like several different times to find the right one that would be less bumpy. So, and I'm always scared when I fly. So I, you know that turbulence. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, what is that? What is that?
Even though I've told you a billion times that planes don't crash because of turbulence.
I know. It's not logical. It's not based in logic. I know that. But I don't travel a quarter of what you do. I don't travel anywhere near as much as you do. So I'm not used to it. But in any case, yeah, that was pretty freaky.
Is that a coincidence? I don't want to go into it could be a coincidence. It couldn't. I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it is? Probably not.
No.
We left on a good note, I think.
A really good note.
When you left, I think we were connected at some point. But again, that's weird. You were not in the same room. Mm-mm. Obviously, you were in a freaking plane 4,000 miles away.
Yeah. The timing obviously makes it more or less likely to be a coincidence, in my opinion, right? Because it was just 10 minutes after 8 minutes or whatever it was.
Yeah. The prior text message was 8 minutes before that.
Mm-hmm.
So someone could say, well, you were texting, you didn't hear back from her. Maybe some part of you got paranoid that you crashed.
Right. You're not really a paranoid type.
No.
That's not very...
I don't even think I was looking at my phone. I think I was doing stuff, putting stuff away. So I wasn't even really paying attention to my phone. All of a sudden, I looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, you hadn't gotten back to me. But I don't know if that would be enough for fear to overtake me and then me message you saying, is it bumpy?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. No. I think you know that I felt something, and obviously you felt it as well.
Yeah.
And you, yeah.
Again, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know what that would be if we were connected or if I was feeling your fear or your worry. Maybe it is. And if it is, that's pretty cool.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Okay. So that was the first one. I think, was it Sunday night? I got high again, because why not? And then I got scared. I felt, again, something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't put a finger on it. I couldn't put a penis on it. But I felt something very strong was wrong. I had felt that it was Ophelia.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter.
Yeah.
I was nervous. I honestly thought something bad had happened to her or was going to happen to her. And I texted you about it. Now, I had known that our middle son was not feeling great. I think you said he had a stomach issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pretty paranoid. I'm not going to lie. And I didn't know what it was. Again, I thought that something was wrong with our daughter. Turns out something was wrong with our middle son.
Yeah.
What was going on with him? His stomach?
He had really bad gas. My cousin, who's a doctor, kind of checked him out, made sure it wasn't his appendix or anything like that. But he was having really bad cramps. And it lasted 2 days. And he couldn't go to the bathroom. It wasn't, not to be gross, it wasn't coming out. And he was describing it to me.
Wait, what wasn't coming out?
The stuff. That was supposed to come out, and he was like that for 2 days, and he's definitely, he doesn't have that kind of an issue, so it was really painful for him, and we were all worried, like, all right, well, if the medicine doesn't kick in, what do? We got to get him to poop somehow, because he was having bad cramps, and he was crying about it, so I think that's what we were talking about at that point in time.
Yeah, and eventually I did some research and figured out, like you said, he ate an entire bag of M&Ms on a plane.
Wait, let's just 1 second.
Yeah.
It was a huge bag that you bought him at the airport, one of those like party size type bags. Yeah. And I told him when I saw him, do not eat all of that. And then we were getting off the plane. I see the garbage that's coming out of there. I'm like, oh my God, he ate that whole bag. And he's like, well, I didn't do it, all at once. I spread it out throughout the 6-hour flight, 7-hour flight. And I was like, no. And then it started the next day after that.
Yeah. And again, I don't know why I got so scared. It was just a feeling that came over me. I think you were going to a house, or I thought you were going to a house with a pool. I'm like, please make sure you watch her. And again, that could just be paranoia for whatever reason.
But on Sunday is when I started getting sick. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. That's when I started getting sick, coughing a lot. And I was like, oh, God, not this fucking thing again. And then it got worse Monday.
Okay. So yeah. I don't know why I felt it. I made sure that you were watching them, and maybe I was tapping into someone's worry. I don't know. I was less convinced of that one than the one when you were in the airplane. But it was still interesting timing, because I did feel something when he was sick.
Yeah.
And again, maybe it was his fear of not understanding what was going on. I think he really felt poorly.
He did.
So maybe I was tapping to that. I don't know, but it was interesting. But you all had a good trip?
Oh, we did. It was, now that I think about it, I wasn't worried until the following day when we went to the beach. And one of my cousins was telling me that Ecuador is a beautiful, beautiful country, but apparently it's become the hub of lots of narcotics, like in it coming in and out of the country, and you know, it goes from all different parts of the world from there. So unfortunately, crime has risen, and there's all kinds of political issues going around. And go ahead.
I was going to ask, is animal porn prevalent in Ecuador?
Maybe we can ask Google. I don't know. I didn't know about animal porn until 20 minutes ago.
You know. Just come out with it.
I venture to say no, but there's probably all kinds of other depraved shit that they do over there. But in any case, they told me that sometimes people are kidnapped for ransom.
Oh, yeah. Nice. They didn't get you, huh?
No, they didn't.
I wouldn't have paid it, by the way.
Ha, ha, ha. Funny. Thanks. 3 kids later, 20 years later, still, you wouldn't pay the ransom for me if somebody kidnapped me. I see how it is. Well, no, not me, Ophelia, because she's really, really pretty, and she's very, very light-skinned. So over there, people automatically assume if you look like her, you have money. And my mom did get scared one time when we were at the beach, because there were these dudes that came on the beach, and it's a beautiful place, very secure.
I'm sorry. Wasn't did you say dudes?
I did say dudes.
Dudes. What did these dudes look like?
Well, I couldn't see their face because they were on a motorcycle and they had bandanas covering their entire face. And my mom jumped. She she noticed it way before I did. She jumped and grabbed Ophelia, and she was only a few feet away from me, like right in front of me on the beach playing. And it turns out they were loan sharks, I guess is the equivalent. They were going to each of the different carts and they were giving money because they were loan sharks. Yeah.
What is your definition of a loan shark? I'm just curious.
I think
when you say loan shark, what do you think a loan shark is?
So these unfortunate, what's the word, poor people, I can't think of a better word, they have these food carts basically on the beach, and that's how they make their living. And but in order to be able to sell on the beach or buy equipment or whatever it is they need to do, they borrow money from these people, and then these horrible people charge them these insane interest rates. And that's what I learned while I was there. So it's my equivalent of a loan shark.
No, you're right, that is a loan shark.
But when I saw them, the first thing that I was like, why are they wearing bandanas? Like, literally, you could barely see their eyes. They were just, the whole face was covered. And I was like, what the fuck? And it only lasted like 3 minutes. But that was the day after you were texting me about Ophelia. Make sure she's okay and all that other stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, but I thought it was interesting and I didn't tell you about it.
Thank God, I would have flown down there. That was actually me. I was creeping, watching you, making sure you
didn't do any animal porn. And then all around the same time, the other interesting thing is that these women, they kept looking at her. Like, she was like an attraction in that little area that we were in. And she's just looking at me, and then she comes up to me and she goes, "Ella es tan blanquita," and I'm like, okay, thank you, which basically translates to "she's so white." I didn't know what to say to that, but yeah, we left right after that. I was like, yeah, no, why? It was just in case nothing happened. It was a great trip. I don't want you to think anything badly, but. It was interesting. I was like, why are people coming out to me telling me how white she is?
Oh, boy.
But my dad, when I was telling him that, he's like, well, she's probably in that area, like an attraction. They don't see.
An attraction?
Yeah. Like, they don't see kids that light skin. I don't know.
Charge people money to look at her?
I should have.
You should have, right?
I should have.
You could have been a loan shark.
Oh, my God, but she looks so cute. That was the only thing that I found.
Okay.
But it did happen the day after, and it was related to Ophelia, so I don't know.
Just all right. Putting who out knows? There. I mean, it could have just been me being paranoid, but about you being by yourself with the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very likely as well. But again, I think the one on the plane was just creepy and freaky and weird to me. That was what I was feeling at that time. You were in some bad turbulence. So, look, anyone listening to this, you can make your own conclusions about what you think. That could have been, we've talked a lot about on this podcast when I'm high and the connections that I make and why I think that happens and what allows for that. I'm not going to go back into it, but you know, you can basically take what you want out of it. But I think humans can have a sixth sense, and cannabis is kind of the vehicle that allows me to have that. So whatever you want to think, it's all good. You can agree with me, disagree with me, but. So that was interesting. So welcome back. You know, we took a couple weeks off here from podcasting, but the last podcast we got into what happened with your grandma and your dad, and you know, you had said you wanted to write a letter to your dad, similar to how I wrote a letter to my mom a few months back, as a way just to get out some thoughts and feelings that. You know, you had about your dad, and I said it was a great idea. But while after that, I decided to write a letter to my dad to kind of close the loop there. For anyone that is new to this, again, I'd written a letter to my mom a few months back on the podcast we did, and it was emotional, and I felt better after doing it. I didn't feel good that I had to do it, but I felt just kind of a little bit of a weight off my shoulders. I have not talked to her about it, and I don't think I'm going to. But I felt better, and, you know, I thought that writing a letter to my dad might be a good thing as well. We've spent a lot of time, both on the podcast and off the podcast, talking about the impact of my parents on my upbringing. There's a whole section in the book dedicated to, you know, my personality and my soul and kind of where that came from, the concept of a nature soul versus nurture soul, something that we've gotten into a little bit, but essentially a nature soul is kind of, you know, how you're born, the characteristics and the traits that make up who you are. The nurture soul is essentially, you know, the factors from your upbringing that, you know, make you who you are, but kind of change you in a way. And so my parents and everyone's parents, everyone out here listening, their parents altered them, altered their souls in some way, similar to how yours have. My parents had some issues, as most parents do, and they obviously affected me and how I viewed relationships. And, you know, what we've learned and what I've learned over the past few years is that my mom was somewhat manipulative and a little bit narcissistic. And, you know, my dad, he took it and didn't really, as far as I remember, try to change things or make his life better for whatever reason. And so that has, you know, really impacted me and impacted how I viewed relationships, because I grew up saying, and I talk about this in the book, I was not going to allow myself to be manipulated. Mm-hmm. And that made me a manipulative person. Mm-hmm. It kind of had the reverse effect for you and for others, unfortunately, right? I'm not hiding it. It kind of is what it is. I'm not happy about it, but, you know, every parent affects their kids differently, and that's how I was affected. But recently I've learned and kind of taken, and it's with cannabis as a guide, mm-hmm. I've realized, you know, my dad is a good person. He's a very loving person. I just think he got stuck in his relationship with my mom, mm-hmm. and didn't know what to do. Yeah, I don't think he was happy, but he kind of learned to be the subservient one in a way, and do whatever she wanted to do just to make her happy, so he didn't have to deal with the crying and some of the other things that she did when I was growing up to him and to us and to everyone around. So I'm not going to get into that again because we talked about that, but that's why I decided, you know, figure I'd write a letter to my dad and see what happens. I mean, what do you think? I'm just curious.
Oh, I'm curious to hear what you wrote. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I obviously, as an outsider looking in, I don't know everything that you guys went through, but from what you've told me, it does seem like he didn't want to have to deal with making a hard choice, I guess, and the easier choice was to just go along with everything, so they wouldn't have to deal with the crying and all the other stuff you said she does, or did. Excuse me. Did.
And up until recently, still. Some of that, I mean, it hasn't gone completely away, but I've kind of learned how to deal with it. You know, and after listening to the last podcast, I just want to make it clear, like, I absolutely love my parents. I mean, they were, you know, they set me up for success in life. They helped with and paid for college, mm-hmm. which is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And they've been supportive of me and us, and kind of they don't know about what we do here, but they've been generally supportive, but you know, the relationship isn't perfect. I don't think anyone's relationship with their parents is perfect, but there's better and then there's worse. You know, since we had our kids, you know, they are not Jewish, they were baptized, and mm-hmm. That caused some issues with her and with him, and you know, there's other things that have gone on that, you know, he's kind of had to take in the position of negotiator between me and her. He was always a tough one to crack as far as what did he really think? You know, what is his soul? I never could really figure him out.
That's, I mean, again, as an outsider looking in, that's also tough because he just goes with whatever she says. So it is tough to figure out, like, well, what are you all about? Like, what do you stand for?
I never knew what he stood. I never knew what, you know, what drove him, where his passion lied. I mean, he loved cars, he loved TVs, mm-hmm. he loved traveling. You know, that's what he enjoyed. And, you know, okay, that's, you know, I think what, you know, made him tick. But again, that's kind of superficial stuff. I mean, I never really understood what kind of beneath the surface was there. So mm-hmm. recently I've kind of figured it out. I mean, he loves his grandkids.
Oh, he adores them. He's really sweet.
You know, every time they come over, he's the one that wants to stay and play and hang out and kind of take it all in. And my mom wants to leave. And, you know, a couple times he'll stand up and say, no, let's stay for dinner. Let's hang out. Most of the time, he doesn't do that, though, and kind of gives in and leaves. And, you know, you can tell he wants to stay.
Oh, yeah, especially when he takes his shoes off and gets comfortable on the couch. That's how I know. That's like and I love it because I love seeing that he's comfortable here and the kids are like, Grandpa, Grandpa. You know, they jump. I think I have a picture recently of our boys who are 13 and 11, big boys, sitting on your dad's lap.
Yeah, was that at our niece's, or was it Hanukkah or? I don't remember. Birthday party.
One of the
at
two.
My brother's house.
Yeah, one of the two. And he was like, oh, my boys, come here. And he looked so happy with them. And it was very, very sweet that two basically teenagers were on each lap of their grandfather saying how much they love him.
Yeah. And you know, again, we've talked a little bit about this, but, he, you know, after they leave, he always sends us a text and says, you know, your kids are great. Your kids are awesome.
You're doing a good job.
Keep it up. My mom never does that. Rarely does. I Maybe she does. I can't remember.
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't think we're doing a good job. I don't know. Well, I don't I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But again, I think just tying this into what we talk about here, you know, I started kind of accepting it and realizing it through cannabis. Whatever that mechanism is, it just allowed me to take a step back and look at my parents for who they really were, the good, bad, and ugly. And I see more good in my dad than I ever thought was there. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing to me.
Yeah.
And so the letter that I wrote isn't as, I don't think as emotional. I'm more frustrated and almost angry at him for not taking more control of his life and trying to find some happiness. I'm not suggesting he's not happy. I think he is, but I think he could have been happier in, you know, his 30s, his 40s, his 50s, you know, before the grandkids came. And I don't know why he didn't take more of an initiative to try to do that. I think, you know, culturally, the Jewish religion is, you know, very keen on not getting divorced, staying together, and that's fine, and I get it. But there were many years he was not happy. And I know that.
How do you know?
Because I could tell. I mean, there was, you could just tell. I mean, this is in when I was growing up in my teenage years when my mom was depressed. And there are just things that I remember where he was just angry all the time. Just angry. I mean, he did some stuff I'm sure he regrets. But he was just angry. And I don't think he knew what to do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he felt trapped.
I don't think there was a lot of therapy available back then as well, the way it is now, too.
I mean, we did therapy as a family. I don't think that was the right.
Oh.
I don't think we as a family needed it as much as they needed it. Mm. And I don't remember if they did therapy. I don't think they did. Maybe they did. But I think at some point it was, you know, my mom got a little bit better with her depression, and that helped somewhat. But, you know, he went through periods where he wasn't working. You know, he got fired from his job, and I'm sure that didn't help.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, you know, I think what I feel towards him is more just frustration and sympathy, empathy. Mm-hmm. No, is that not the right word?
Not empathy. I think sympathy.
Maybe neither.
Yeah, because I don't think you know what it's like to feel to be in his shoes. You don't feel.
No, I kind of do. I mean, I kind of do because I've dealt with it.
I don't fucking manipulate you.
No, I meant with my mother.
Oh, like, that'll do it to you. What are you talking about?
No, not with you. I meant with her. Like, he could have taken control of that relationship and said, and put his foot down and said, this has got to stop. But I don't think he ever did that. At least not that I heard. I mean, again, there was a lot of arguing, a lot of fighting. But anyways, again, I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I think cannabis helped me get here. And so, you know, I decided to write a letter, and it's a little shorter than I think it was for my mom's, but I wanted to read it. And just, again, for anyone listening, I think this is a good exercise, whether it's for parents, for siblings, friends, write the letter, read it out loud, see how you feel. It's up to you whether you want to actually send it to that person or not. But, you know, it did feel good the first time, and I'm sure this will feel good on some levels. But it's not about me necessarily, but it's an exercise that people can do. So any final thoughts before I read it?
No, I want to hear it. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. All right. Well, here it goes. Letter to my D.
You're so stupid.
That's what I titled it, Letter to My D. All right. Let's see how this goes. Dad, after writing my letter to Mom, I honestly felt somewhat better for saying things that I can never openly admit before. While some people will say that I should talk to her and say these things out loud, I know it would never work. I've known her for too long to think that coming out and saying these things to her would benefit our relationship for the better. You are a bit harder to read, though. A part of me thinks that if I came out and told you the things that I have to say in this letter, that you would understand and appreciate it, and that it would help our relationship. However, a bigger part of me thinks that it won't, and that you would be offended by what I'm going to say here. As such, I will likely never tell you these things unless there's a life event that changes my thinking. When I think about our history, it is a complicated one. Growing up, I remember there were times that I was happy to have you as my dad. You taught me how to ride a bike, how to play baseball and basketball, how to fix things in the house, within reason, and all about cars and electronics. Although we never really had any in-depth conversations about life or things I was passionate about, it was generally just a typical father-son relationship in the 80s and 90s. As I got older, I began to understand and acknowledge the relationship that you and Mom had. It involved a lot of fighting, screaming, door slamming, and crying. I was old enough to understand you were unhappy, but not old enough to understand why. It wasn't until my teenage years where I began to fully understand why you seemed unhappy and angry, and it centered around Mom's depression and overall attitude towards us. Well, I don't want to get back into what happened with Mom. I think it is important to stress that her feelings did impact us each differently. Certainly, you were the focus of it as you were / are her husband. Although some of that trickled down to me in other ways, I know you bore the brunt of it, and he did. I will never be able to understand why you felt you had to take the brunt of this. Maybe it was how you grew up with your parents and family. Maybe it was what you thought you, quote-unquote, had to do to be a successful person in life, have a wife that you are with forever, and try to do the best you can to deal with it. And you did. You tried to work with her and find her things to make her happy, namely temple activities. But I thought this came at a huge sacrifice to you, your happiness. I know when you lost your job and were out of work for a year or two, that affected you greatly, and I believe you became depressed, even though you'll never admit it. I think your definition of a father and a man was someone that provided financially for the family, and that you did. Along with Mom, you helped put three kids through college so they could all become successful in their careers, and for that, I think we will always be thankful for you. As I got older, we never really had a fantastic relationship, as we never really had that much in common. Once I switched to accounting in college, I was a meteorology major first and switched to accounting. I think that helped give us something to talk about, given you were also an accountant. You would always help me with my taxes, and I think that gave you a sense of pride. However, we still had different interests. You were always focused on material things like the biggest TV or the best car, and that stuff never really mattered to me. Our relationship was always static, never really got worse, never really got better. There were times that we argued, mostly because Mom was upset about something I did that she didn't agree with. I know why you did it. You had to see her upset, and the easiest way to get through it was to take it out on me. I do not blame you for that. I would probably have done the same thing. As you got older and eventually retired, you still supported Mom and her desires to be part of the Jewish community, even though deep down I don't think you ever really cared for it. You did it because you thought you had to, and it made her happy, and just cutting the side. I mean, he did go to every temple event, you know, but I just don't think he ever really, it was not part of him, who he was. As I've gotten older and had kids of my own, however, I've seen the toll of your relationship with Mom on you. There are many times I just feel you're beaten down and don't know what else to do. You come over to our house, you want to stay and hang out, but you can't because Mom wants to go somewhere or is too tired to hang out. There's constant fighting and bickering during family events that it's not only us that notice, but other families as well. It can be exhausting to watch. I wish you had more confidence to be your own person and to do things on your own. I wish you could just tell Mom, no, I don't want to do this, or let's stay a while longer. But generally, you don't do that, and that has always confused me. You're at your happiest when you're with your grandchildren, both mine and my youngest brother's. Brother. I generally believe that you needed grandchildren to give you that sense of excitement, love, and meaning in your life. Alexandra and I are always so happy to see their grandkids with you and how you interact with them, and I know they feel the same way. It is only within the past year or two that, through my experiences with cannabis, that I realized what a good-hearted and loving person you are. You generally want all your kids to be happy and to do good things in your life, in their lives. I'm not saying Mom doesn't want this. Maybe she does. She certainly doesn't express it as much or the same way that you do. However, this isn't about Mom. This is about you. While I'm sure you wish you did things differently in life, I just want you to know that I respect you for what you did to stick with it and do the best to support your family through thick and thin. I hope you are reaping the benefits of that through retirement and seeing your kids and grandkids when you can. No one's life is perfect. Certainly mine isn't. But if I've learned anything from you is that family comes first. even if you have to sacrifice some things on your end to ensure your family is happy and taken care of. For that, I will always respect you and love you for showing me the way to care for your family. While we may never have the perfect relationship and talk about emotional things, I know that my feelings towards you have changed dramatically in a positive way in recent years, and I am happy cannabis was the catalyst for me to realize this. While I may never tell you all this, I have tried to be more patient with you and look to do more things together as a family. I hope that has made you happy, because if I have learned anything through this process, you certainly deserve this. Love always, Eric.
That's very sweet. I'm processing. How do you feel having said all that out loud and with me listening?
Yeah, I mean, that letter is pretty much what we were kind of just talking about. Like, mm-hmm. I just, we never had the perfect relationship. I think he was closer to a couple of my other brothers, and that's fine. Again, I think the past couple years has just changed the way I perceive him, and mm-hmm. for the better. And again, it's just so frustrating knowing that he maybe could have been happier, but, you know, he's happy now, I think, to an extent. And yeah. I hope if what we're doing and what, you know, we're able to give him the grandkids is what drives that, then that's okay. And, you know, I hope mm-hmm. as he gets towards the end of his life, then that's enough for him.
Yeah.
It kind of has to be at this point because, you know, he's not leaving my mom.
No, most definitely not. I'm glad you were able to express your feelings. It seems like you do a better job of writing it down first, making sure like you kind of like analyze it and then you say it, which is something that your mom does. She's like that too. She yeah. won't say anything until she like writes it down and then she says it. But I'm glad that you were able to do that.
Yeah, and look, I mean, again, for anyone listening, it's a worthwhile exercise. Again, you doesn't mean you have to share with the person you're writing about, but it does help.
Yeah.
And at least you get your thoughts out somewhere, even mm-hmm. if they never see it. I mean, you know, it's just a way to get that weight off your huge shoulders, huge shoulders.
There's something that you said that I'm curious about if we have a couple more minutes. Or
no.
You said you don't blame him. You would have done the same thing when he took stuff out on you because of her? Is that how I interpreted that? I just, is that what you meant?
Now I gotta go back and read what the hell I wrote.
At one point you said, I don't blame you, I would have done the same thing.
I said, there were times that we argued mostly because mom was upset about something I did that she didn't agree with. I know why you did it, you had to see her upset, and the easiest way to get through it was to take it out of me. I don't blame you for that. Yeah, I guess what I was trying to say there is it's easy to understand why he would, you know, yell at me for something that I did to upset her. He didn't want to deal with it. He didn't want to deal with her being upset, and I get it.
But, yeah, because I was just going to say, with all due respect, that's what you do. You don't want to deal with her, so you don't pick up her phone calls, you don't respond to her emails, you don't, it's easier for you to ignore it.
It's whatever it takes for her to stop being depressed or sad or crying.
But I think that also, I mean, it doesn't matter anymore, but that's an enabler for her, because she knows.
I don't want to get into her. I get it, yeah. No, yeah. I understand, but that's what I meant by that, so.
Well, I just, the reason it caught my attention is because it's, in my personal opinion, it's okay to be upset with him because he took things out on you, perhaps, that he shouldn't have, or he wouldn't have felt, or maybe he didn't feel as strongly about it, whatever the topic was.
I don't understand why he did it. Like, I don't understand why he didn't stand up for himself more, and that's part of it.
And you.
And me. I don't understand that. I wish he would have. I wish he'd said, no, you're wrong. Not me, her.
Yeah.
You're wrong. I think he did say that from time to time, and he does try to stand up for himself more now, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It really is. And again, I don't want to get into anything more with her, but.
No. I just took it more as a you thing because it seemed like, how do I say this? I just wanted you to make sure wanted to make sure that you knew it was okay to be upset with him because he didn't stand up for you a little bit more.
I said that. I said that a lot. I mean, yeah.
No, I know you said that, but then you said I don't blame you, so I just was a little confused, that's all. I wanted to make sure. It was beautiful.
Okay, you've lost me, so I think we're going to wrap this one off because you've kind of lost me.
I didn't lose you.
You did lose me.
How?
I don't know. I'm tired. You're tired.
I'm okay.
But anyways, look, I you know, this is kind of why, you know, this stuff's emotional and it's hard at times to do this, but mm-hmm. It's also a good thing. And I think the reason why we're doing this podcast is to help others, you know, get over that hump. Maybe if they were thinking about doing something like this, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with doing something like this and getting your thoughts out there. So mm-hmm. for the 20 people that are listening, if you do want to write it, a letter, you know, please let us know. We've been doing this for a while and haven't really had much interaction or any interaction with people listening to this that I'm aware of.
I want to do one for my dad. I haven't done that yet. I will.
Okay.
Maybe that'll be the next one.
Oh, I think we got to mix it up a little bit. It's going to turn into a letter to our parents podcast. But look, if you are listening to this and you are joining it, please reach out. It's always helpful to know that, you know, we are getting through to people. Is helpful on some levels, and you know, share it with friends and family, and we'll see where this goes together.
Yeah, but I mean, you have a lot of Twitter followers. I think you are getting. I think the message is getting out there, so don't stress too much.
I'm not stressed about it. If no one's listening to this, that's okay. It is what it is. But I appreciate anyone that is listening to this. As we sit here looking at our blue sky and our 12-inch penis that's sitting up on the window. So anyways, anything else from your end? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
We're coming up on 420 here, so we'll be doing some promoting and stuff. If you want a copy of our book, please reach out. I was looking to give about 50 copies away in honor of 420, the unofficial holiday of cannabis, so please reach out if you'd like a free copy. And, yeah, we'll probably be back around 420 for another one.
Yeah.
I'm going to be high for that one.
I think I may be as well.
God, I hope so.
Have a great day.
All right. Stay
connected.
Constipated.